What is cracking, YouTube? Hello, everyone. I am Mario Arroyo, a.k.a. Agent Extraordinaire, House Flipper Extraordinaire. Right here, we got Kevin Brady. Kevin, let them know who you are.
I'm a mortgage banker here in Cerritos, partner in 8 different ventures, and partner in this podcast with Mario Arroyo.
Right on. And this is The Art of Partnerships, guys. So this is a podcast we've been, you know, we've been really thinking about a lot. And we really wanted to make sure we're doing it correctly. So, you know, thank you to everyone that helped put this together. The Lit Outlet helping us get situated with the whole podcast. Mike over here helping us with the sound.
Yep, yep.
Thank you, everyone that, you know, brought everything together for us. And, you know, we're excited to launch it. So with that being said, I mean, there's more than a few companies that Kevin and I have ventured in, you know. So I don't know. Maybe we want to name a few. Kevin, what do you think?
Mortgage company.
Real estate company on my end.
Elderly care facility.
House flipping,
a float lounge,
Airbnb rentals,
and a mortgage software company.
And that's just a handful of things that we've actually gotten into, a few things that we've been successful with. As of right now, knocking on wood, none of those companies have given us anything negative. They've all been on the positive side. So we've been very fortunate, very blessed, you know, in order to start these companies with our partners. And as of right now, they've been a success. I mean, I don't know anything you might want to chime in on that, Kevin.
No, positive cash flow on each of these companies. You know, the oldest one has been around for 3-4 years to the newest venture just kicking off about 3 months ago. And in each of these companies, we have different partners on the other end.
Absolutely, 100% true. You know, so one thing that, you know, Kevin and I are very big believers in is we're very big believers in partnering with others in order, because, you know, we can accomplish more when we come together. You know, at the end of the day, and none of us is as smart as all of us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we can all bring what we have to the table, and that's going to create a nice recipe for success. You know, so that's a huge thing that, you know, we're believers in. And with that being said, that is a big reason why we started this podcast, just to let people know, like, this is what we can do with other people as well. You know, so we want to open that up, not just to Kevin, myself, in our SOI, in our sphere of influence, but just to anyone out there that might have a nice business idea, and however, they just might be lacking some resources, right, and we could possibly be that resource.
Right. So we're reaching out to our audience, to our viewers, in hopes that they reach out to us so that we can partner with them to create their dreams and make their dreams a reality. With that said, you know, this all stems back to when I was in college back in 2012. I started a food delivery service. You know, long story short, we were delivering In-N-Out, Chipotle, McDonald's to the local community right there in my college. Well, this is 2012. The way it worked back then is people would put their orders in before 6 p.m. on a website and get the food delivered to them between 7 and 8 p.m. every day.
That sounds familiar.
It does. Yeah, yeah. Well, next thing you know, 2013 comes around, and you got companies like Uber Eats and DoorDash that come out in 2013.
100%, man. And who isn't familiar with those companies right about now?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a huge thing that we want to tap into, because, you know, something like that Kevin just stumbled across, didn't even know, probably didn't even acknowledge that could have been a multi-million dollar, possibly billion dollar business.
Exactly. And you know what it is? I didn't have any starting funds, really. I mean, maybe $100-$200 to start the website. Got a couple drivers. Everything was flowing. We were cash flowing. And just completely wiped out by the guys that are still around today.
Right.
Because they were able to take it to another level with the apps.
Right.
And just had the resources and connections to take them to that next level.
Oh, 100%. You know, so, I mean, this is something where Kevin was way ahead of the curve, you know, and with that, I mean, obviously you guys might not be able to answer the question right now since it is a podcast, but I want to ask you guys a question, which is more like, have you ever had an idea? And I think every aspiring entrepreneur has went through this. You ever had an idea? You ever had some type of thought that came to mind and you said, you know what? I can really do this. The only thing that you were lacking, though, was resources, whether that be funding, whether that be the right connections, whether that be anything of that nature. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. And I would bet my bottom dollar that it probably has at least once, you know. So that's something that we want to make sure. I mean, we're much more reachable people than other entrepreneurs out there. Yeah. And we want to make sure that you can reach out to us and we can come together and possibly create something that hasn't been created before, or it has been created, but you might have the secret recipe, you know?
Exactly. We're not necessarily looking for the next Uber or the next Airbnb, exactly. But we're looking for that that barber, that kick-ass barber who you know, wants to start his own barbershop but doesn't have the initial funds to do so.
Exactly.
He has a proven clientele, proven business model, and hopefully if he reaches out to us, we can help him make his dreams a reality.
Oh, absolutely.
All these companies that we have partnered with, they're nothing incredibly new. Mortgage company, elderly care facilities, sensory deprivation tanks, it's all been done before.
Exactly. You know, so these are things that, you know, they've been done before. And however, Kevin and I, we don't know what we don't know, you know, so it's something to where we don't know what people are out there in the market for. Right. And, you know, some people bring that to the table to us and then we decide, hey, you know what? That makes sense. You right. know, and then if you can show us a proven track record of like, you know, this is how it goes down. This is the clientele that buys this product. And then we see there's a market for it. We're more than happy to partner with anyone, you know. So at the end of the day, that's what we're looking to do. You know, something, and, you know, just like Kevin said, you know, the barber with the kick-ass style and, you know, has a huge following. You know, the guy that is cooking food out of his home right now because, you know, he just has a great following and people love his food.
Yeah.
But, you know, he might not necessarily have what it takes to get over the hump in order to open the actual restaurant. You know, so that's exactly. What we want to be that resource.
Exactly. A lot of these guys with the skill and the business or the idea are just lacking the business model and the know-how and how do I set up the corporation? How do I get the funding?
Right.
And that's what we're looking to help them with.
Exactly. You know, so something, you know, Kevin and myself, you know, we've been a part of 8 different businesses together, mm-hmm. you know, so just being a part of different businesses, we've proven that we can build these businesses. You know, I mean, we've both been entrepreneurs since I want to say our early teenage years or even before that, you know, so whether we knew it or not, we were entrepreneurs. So building businesses is something that I think we're very qualified for, you know, at the age of 26 and Kevin at the age of 27, we've established a nice track record of what we've done. And these are just a handful of things and not including what we're actually working on right now at this moment,
exactly.
You know, so this is something that, you know, we want to be able to extend that hand and reach out to everyone else. And, you know, whether you're around our age, you're a little younger, you're a little older, it doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, what we want to do is we want to help aspiring entrepreneurs.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, the whole point of this podcast, we're going to be interviewing our former partners or our current partners.
Correct.
And they're going to be exclaiming what kind of value we brought to them. And hopefully the audience members can see that and they can put themselves in that person's shoes and say, you know what, Mario and Kevin can help me as well.
Exactly. So that's exactly, you know, just like how Kevin said, we want to bring these people on here and we want you guys to hear from them. Exactly. The guys that actually brought us the ideas, you know, and then we end up partnering with them.
Yeah.
So that way you can hear it from their mouths of how we were able to help them, you know? So, I mean, with that being said, I mean, you know, anything, I don't know what else we can actually add on to it.
No, just, you know, every person, the deal is always different. The type of partnerships we have with each individual in terms of money that we put in
right.
terms of what equity percentage we took from it, it varies from individual to, it's not straight, you know, 10,000 for 10% no. equity. It varies on the business.
It's not a one size fits all.
Exactly. And that's where you're going to get to hear it from these 8 different people that we've partnered with, hear their story, and we're going to get deep into it in terms of what our contribution was, what that return was, where we you know, set parameters to where we could be bought out eventually. These deals were all different for each business.
Yeah, everything is negotiable at the end of the day too, you know. So it's something to where, you know, the structure is going to be different with every business is different, you know. So right. we can't expect to have the same structure for each one of them.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's some where we're majority partners, some where we're minimal partners, some where we're just 50-50.
Exactly.
You know? So it all just depends on what it is.
Exactly. We've partnered with people who have brought us flip opportunities. They say, hey, we can buy this house at $400,000. We need the funds to be able to do so. And then the ARV, or after repair value, is $600,000. That is a very solid deal right there. Well, exactly. Minimal risk compared to someone maybe who has a brand new idea needs X and X amounts in funds.
Right.
That is more risky because it's not a proven model. Whereas the house flipping, we're buying it at this price, we're selling it at this. The numbers are very concrete.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just buying anything under market value is usually a deal in almost anything. You know, it could be a car, it could be, I mean, jewelry, it could be whatever. You know, so that's something to where 100% we tie people into that deal. You know, I mean, we're not greedy people, you know. And, it's something to where, you know, people have brought us there, you know, a deal such as, you know, a real estate flipping, which is something that Kevin and I have actually gotten into, him and myself. And then, you know, 50-50 partners. Why not? You know, we'll put up the cash. You know, you run the system, you run the operation. And at the end of the day, you know, we'll just go ahead and, you know, we'll split it down the middle. It's not a big deal.
You know, one recent business opportunity that I do want to share is an Airbnb opportunity that was presented to us. It was actually a boat that was going to be Airbnb'd in Newport Beach.
A little different there, yeah.
A little different. Interesting idea. Anyway, individual's name is Sean. Sean came to us and he pretty much said, hey, I want to buy this boat and I want to Airbnb it. We looked at the numbers. He had an idea of how it would work. And sure enough, it did work. Mm-hmm. You know, we completely remodeled this boat. About a 32-foot boat right there in Newport Beach.
Right.
Great view right there in Newport Bay. And to this day right now, it is cash flowing very well.
Nice. And I want to ask you a question I already know the answer to, but does that boat even operate?
It does not.
It doesn't even operate.
It doesn't run. The engines are blown out. But do we need it to operate? We don't.
Not at all.
And that's why it was such a great deal.
Yeah.
And that's why it is cash flowing, even after paying the slip fee, the rental fee for where it's parked there on the dock. It is still cash flowing and doing very well to this day.
You said Newport, right? That's
Newport,
where it is?
Correct.
It's a great location.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, it's not considered real estate, but, you know, location is one of the biggest things that you hear in real estate, you know, and at the end of the day, that's what's going to pay the bills.
Exactly. And, you know, this individual, that boat wasn't free, that's for sure. So he needed the initial funds to buy it, but he showed us the plan, showed us the opportunity of what it would rent for, and we took it from there. And now it is running. He has a cleaner that comes every time after it's been rented. Pretty much self-generating at this point, which is great.
Oh, nice, man. And Sean is a partner on a different business with you as well, right?
He is. Elderly care facility.
There it is. Okay. I mean, can you elaborate a little bit on what that is?
Yeah. So it's called a RCFE, Residential Care Facility for the Elderly.
Right.
What it is, it's just a normal single family home in a normal suburban neighborhood. And they have their guests or their clients are the elderly who need care, right?
Okay.
So instead of someone putting their mother or father in a big dormitory-style nursing home...
Right, which is what you see a lot of times.
Exactly, and they don't receive the level of care, and they're just a number there. They're sent to this single-family home, our residential care facility.
Okay.
At max, we have about 6 to 10 residents at one time.
Okay.
So they're receiving... You know, practically for every one caretaker, there's maybe 4 residents.
Right.
So that is ultimate care that they're getting. Not only that, but they're in a single family home in a residential neighborhood. It's familiar to them.
Yeah.
Their room, their individual room is decorated the same way their room was when they lived at their normal home. Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that, man.
It really doesn't.
When it comes down to, you know, I mean, unfortunately, we're all headed that way. You know, we're all going to reach an age where, you know, we're going to have to be put in some type of care where we won't be able to care for ourselves the way we do now. And, you know, that's something to where you're providing massive value for those people. And not only those people, but their kids and their grandkids, you know, giving them peace of mind that their loved one is in a safe place. You know, and at the same time, I mean, it's become a business that I would have never thought about, you know, and a lot of people probably don't think about.
Correct.
And I bet you didn't even think about that.
I did not. But what Sean did in this case, he showed us the numbers.
Right.
Right. Numbers that could not be argued against in terms of the baby boomers that are getting to that age right now. There is a huge need for this.
There it is.
He showed what the rents would be for each resident. And overall, what was he lacking in the capital?
Right.
And that's where we came in, helped with the capital, helped with the business structure, and now it's flowing very smoothly.
Nice, man. Yeah. It really doesn't get any better than that.
Yep.
That's cool. And then, you know, I mean, with talking about all these businesses and stuff like that, you know, this is something to where, you know, where did we first, maybe we can elaborate a little bit on where did we first get the feel that we were entrepreneurs? You know, I know exactly what that was for me, but I don't know, maybe you want to start that off.
Grew up in North Long Beach. For those of you not familiar, not a very nice area.
Right.
Mother's an immigrant from Mexico. Dad grew up in Minnesota on a farm, ran away, ended up in California, and that's where they met. And growing up, money was always an issue. And, you know, we were always told, I have a younger brother and sister, we were always told, go to school.
Right.
Get that good job, you know, W-2 employee. And
like a lot of us are told.
Like a lot of us are told, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was in college that I think it was seeing other businesses, small businesses that were flourishing.
Right.
And seeing that it was the guys who either owned their own business or who were in sales that were making the money. That's what that gave me that mindset shift.
I see. To where you switch from like, screw the 9-to-5. I got to get into this type of sales business world.
Exactly, because I'm there in college and I'm struggling to pick a major. That's right. What was happening. What do I want to be in an accountant? Do I want to major in, you know, business? Business, mm-hmm. very general. I don't even know what that means. You know, right. Where is that going to lead me?
So many different ways you can go with it.
Exactly. It was a struggle. And I think many people are struggling with that today. They're in college and they're probably just getting that degree. Mm-hmm. To make mom and dad happy.
A lot of times, and getting themselves into sometimes five-figure debt, you know, and that's the sad part about it sometimes is that we follow so much what our parents want for us, exactly. But we don't focus on what we want for us.
Exactly.
You know?
And during that time is, I actually started that company, food delivery service, started as a grocery delivery service. A lot of people don't know that. But it was too complicated for me at the time to do it.
Yeah.
So I switched to food delivery and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, eventually you get wiped out by someone that's doing it better.
On a bigger scale,
more resources, apps started coming out, becoming more prevalent.
Right.
But that's where it all started for me.
Right on.
That's where it started.
Oh, cool, man. I mean, pretty similar, you know, as you can see, Kevin looks like a hair has never been touched on his head, you know what I mean? But he did come from humble beginnings, you know, and that's something that I acknowledge. And, you know, he doesn't forget where he comes from. And I totally respect that. For myself, I also grew up for some time in North Long Beach. Didn't know Kevin back then, though. Didn't meet him until later on in our 20s. But grew up in North Long Beach. My family did a lot of moving. Lived in New Jersey for a couple years, came back, you know, lived in Long Beach again, you know, went to school in Downey. I went to Downey High School, graduated. And, you know, I think where I really picked up entrepreneurial, I think I didn't pick up entrepreneurship at an early age. I think I picked up sales at a very early age.
Yeah.
And what I picked up in sales was that my dad would sell everything and anything, and everything was always for sale. My dad had his price for almost everything that was a material object, you know. So something when it came down to, you know, means of survival, because my family didn't always do very great. There was times where we did do good, and then most of the time we weren't doing that amazing. And, you know, for means of survival, my dad picked up sales at a very early age. And, you know, just watching my dad do it kind of made me figure out that sales was a good way to put money in your pocket, you know. And and my dad was huge on leverage. My dad knows how to do a little bit of everything, knew how to do a little bit of everything. And, you know, but when it came down to it, he wasn't really doing it because his time was spent better making more sales.
Your dad was a hustler.
He was a hustler.
Not a businessman, but a hustler.
He was a street hustler in the beginning and then became a little more of a savvy hustler. But at the end of the day, he was a hustler. My dad wasn't the guy that, you know, he could build a huge business, but he was the guy that he'd definitely fill the pipeline. You know, he'd definitely fill the pipeline. He would definitely be the top salesman of the month in any single company, you know, but he wasn't the guy that can get in there and, you know, build a business from the ground up.
Right.
Had my dad partnered with somebody?
Exactly.
Dude, big time. That company's taken off, you know. That's kind of where I picked up my entrepreneurship, because when I got into sales, it was very early on and I started doing forklift sales. So I started that forklift company with my dad. Two guys, no business experience. Company took a huge shit. Excuse my language, but that's exactly what happened. You know, so company took a dump, and at the end of the day, we found ourselves like in means of survival. So we started selling everything and anything. So from there, I took the time and, you know, took advantage. And, you know, I said, I want to learn real estate sales. Got into real estate, met this guy. From a business relationship became a big friendship. And then, you know, here we are, you know. But I want to say I probably picked up sales and entrepreneurship. I want to say maybe like my senior year of high school. You know, it's when I really dialed in and I really embraced, this is what I like. This is what I want to do. This is what's going to get me over the hump.
Yep. Yep. I hear you on that. I hear you.
Yeah, man. So it's something to where if anybody wants to become wealthy, a millionaire, a billionaire, even if you want to take it a step forward and you want to say a trillionaire, dude, sales is the number one thing you need in your arsenal. Yep. Number one thing. You know, so, and then with that being said, your network is your net worth. You know, so who are your friends, who you surround yourself with, and that's the person that you will become. You know, so that's what I've always done. And I don't want to say always done, but that's what I've done once I became like a young adult into the business world. And it's gotten me to places that I never would have even imagined. I'm sure you could say the same.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for all our business partners currently and future business partners, we are always pitching the passive income opportunity that lies in these businesses. We don't want our partners to keep continuing to work in the business down the line.
Right.
We always look, there's another opportunity to remove yourself from your business, from
right.
working in the business and receiving the passive cash flow, as Mario's hat states right there.
If you didn't see it.
That's what we want, and that's what we want of our business partners, and we sell that goal and that dream, and it becomes a reality.
It does, you know. And at the end of the day, I mean, you said it yourself, cash flow and leveraging, you know, just leveraging the business to where you don't have to be a slave to it.
Yes.
A lot of times, I've seen people, you know, someone very close to me in my family, guy does very well. You know, I mean, we're talking $250,000, $300,000 a year mm-hmm. in a place, you know, like California. That's pretty good. That's pretty damn good. You're doing better than most of the people.
That's real good.
And with that being said, though, this guy's slaving away 60 hours a week, you know, and he's, I want to say 55 years old right now. He's one of my uncles. And, you know, unfortunately, it's something to where he didn't really learn how to leverage it, you know, and that's something that, you know, we've learned at very early on. And that's 100% the direction we're heading in. Kevin, let's be real. You know, your main business is mortgage. My main business is real estate sales. Yep. And I don't love it. You know, and some people might catch that like, whoa, like, you know, what do you mean? Then why do you do it? But it's a great vehicle for me, you know, and it's something I don't want to say that I don't like it. I mean, I do get fulfillment helping people, but at the end of the day, it's something that I don't see myself selling a house when I'm 50 years old, when I'm 45 right. years old, 55, 60 years old.
Right.
That's something that it's not in my plans. So my plan is to be out of the real estate business in 4 years, not right. out of it completely, out of real estate sales. I want to stop doing that by the age of 30.
Exactly.
You know, so that's something to where if I'm still a part of it, I'm not actually selling the house alone. I'm helping other people build their business, or I'm house flipping and I'm investing in businesses, you know.
Yep.
But that's something to where at the end of the day, it's leverage and then finding the exit strategy that's going to work best for you.
Right. Exactly. We're putting our energy and our time, sweat equity
yep.
in right now to be able to create something where we would be able to remove ourselves from the business.
Exactly.
And in a sense, just oversee it.
Yeah,
because we're putting a lot of man hours into our business right now.
Right.
That's what it is. And when Mario says we don't like it, we love what we do in general. I love mortgages. I love helping people finance their future home purchase.
Right.
But with that said, in the trenches,
right.
there's a lot of stress. There's a lot 100%. Of hours put into it.
Yes.
And what keeps me going is I'm slowly creating something in which I'm putting the team together
right.
to where I'm just going to be able to oversee it and consult my team members.
Oh, exactly. And that's the same thing on my side. You know, it'd be something to where I'm not completely out of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm just not the one opening the property anymore. I'm not doing the open houses anymore. Exactly. You know, I'm the guy that I'm leveraging when people still call me and they want to sell their house, they want to buy a house.
Exactly.
I'm going to give them to my team members. Exactly. You know, it's something to where leverage at the end of the day, dude, that's the number one thing that everyone should be striving for, you know, because if not, you'll be the slave to your business, you know. And I know a guy that I used to bartend at this place, and I'm not going to say names because I don't want to give them any love or credibility whatsoever. But this guy never took vacations, you know, and if he did, they were for like 3-4 days, which is not a real vacation, in my opinion, you know. But he ran one of the hottest clubs. He runs one of the hottest clubs right now in Southeast LA area, and slave to his business, man. Yep. You know, probably does very well, and I'm sure he's making millions and millions of dollars every single year. But what good is it if you can't truly enjoy it by stepping away from your business? You know, that's, to me, it's like, I can't even think about who would really want to do that, you know?
Right. But that is the second step for everyone out there. The first step is starting your own business.
Exactly.
That's just it. If you're an employee, you're a slave eternally.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. So there's levels.
Exactly. Then starting your own business, you're going to be working in your business maybe for the first couple of years.
Right.
Yeah. But then it's the goal of removing yourself from your own business and still generating income.
Yeah. And then ultimately, I mean, maybe even starting other businesses.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll put my family, it started with myself. My mother started a CPR training business.
Right.
She was a school teacher for 25 years.
Okay.
Now is doing CPR trainings for, it's her own business.
Nice, dude.
She's a notary, does her own notary signings, her own business.
That's a level up, man.
My brother is an accountant. I will help him to remove himself from that W-2 job so that he can start his own tax preparing business. That's going to come this summer. And then eventually, true happiness will be fulfilled, will be achieved after they remove themselves and start doing what they want to do. Spend time with the family, travel. That can only be achieved if you have your own business.
Right.
And eventually, if your business is self-running.
Yeah, exactly. That's the ultimate goal. I couldn't agree with you more, to be honest with you, you know. But yeah, like you said, no, there's definitely steps to it and there's levels to it. You know, right now it's figure out the way to leave the 9-to-5, burn your boats, start your business, you know, and burning your boats means if you landed on an island, you're going to take the island and you're going to burn the boats to make sure that you take that island. That's the only option possible for you to do. Quote by Tony Robbins here, in case you haven't heard of the guy. But anyways, so that's step number two. Start the business. Step number three, scale the business. Step number four, take a step back. Take a step back and watch what you built run itself.
Yeah.
You know, that is the ultimate form of freedom, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, so I mean, hats off to those people, you know, that are doing that. Your brother that is going to start that. You stepping in, helping them with that.
Right.
Your mom that took that step. Shit, dude, cheers to us, you know, for making that step, dude. You know, there's a lot of people that... Man, I love the entrepreneurship talk, man, because it's something that it really hypes me up, you know? So, I love it.
And it will be my purpose and my passion going forward to get other people to take that step to start their own business, something that they're truly passionate about.
Definitely.
Because I felt it within myself. My life has changed since I made that shift.
Oh, yeah, man.
Everything. I mean, I'm so grateful. I get up on... Monday.
Right.
People dread Mondays.
Oh, man.
Dread it.
I love Mondays.
I get up and I just think, oh my gosh, I'm going to work for myself.
Yeah.
For myself. With guys, team members that I work with, my sales guys, well, I consider them as partners.
Yeah. You love those guys. I love those guys, man.
I tell them this. I say, you know, there's a certain split that I take from these guys, let's say, right? There's a certain percentage they give to the company. Mm-hmm. But it's in exchange for value.
I am
so transparent with these guys in terms of what's being exchanged.
Right.
I don't hide any numbers. And the reason I do it is because, you know, all those sales guys, you're your own boss.
Right.
That's what I tell them. Mm-hmm. And when you're your own boss, you make decisions in terms of what's a good exchange of your time.
Correct.
And of money, if you're giving up money for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. And that's something to where you made a very key point, which is value. You know, same for me is I'm not a real estate broker. I'm a real estate salesperson. So I pay a piece of my pie to my brokers.
Yeah.
But I do it. I don't want to say happily, but I do it without a problem, you know, and because I know the value that I'm getting in return.
Exactly.
You know, everything that these guys teach me, from house flipping to, you know, how to work a certain deal to negotiating a certain deal, it's something like that, man. That it, and then, like you said, you know, people dread the Mondays. Dude, I look forward to the Mondays, man, because I like who I work with. And exactly. I got to choose those people that I work with. You know what I mean? And that's just one of the other advantages of being a business owner, is that you build it, you bring the people in that you want in, you know? So, I mean, what's better than that?
Exactly. And that's what, you know, just a full circle, what we're hoping to achieve with this podcast, reaching out to our audience.
Exactly.
You've heard what we had to say right now, and we want you to reach out to us. And hopefully we can get you guys off the ground. That first step, step one.
Absolutely. And this is something to where, you know, it was a big introduction for us, you know, to give to you guys. And we just want to introduce what is it that we're doing. Now you have it. You can follow me on Instagram as Agent Extraordinaire. And you can follow Kevin on Instagram as Senor Brady, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's something to where we want the DMs to come in. Yep. You know, start asking us questions, you know, start asking us, what is it going to take for you to, you know, propose this certain business to us? And we'd be happy to respond. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, any which way possible, if we're not the guys for you, I guarantee you we'll be able to point you in the right direction to the guy that is.
Yep.
You know, so with that being said, I mean, I don't know if there's anything else you want to bring in before we sign out here, but. You know, I hope you guys reach out. I hope you guys got something from this. I can guarantee you episode 2 is going to be much better, a lot more value filled.
Yes.
And, you know, with that being said, I mean, this is the art of partnerships, man.
This is the art of partnerships.
All right. Thanks, guys.